Blog Talk Radio.
Episode 128 of the Philosophy Show. My name's Thomas, your host tonight. And tonight's episode is titled, What Doesn't Have Matter Matters. I guess I can make a subtitle that it's all relative. And you can, just real quick, the Philosophy Show is on at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. And it's every Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Right now it's 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it has been very consistent. And it's a call-in show. It's a half an hour. And so thanks for listening into the Philosophy Show. You can also check out my other website at youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And so, what doesn't have matter matters. It matters, and the show matters. I'm speaking into a microphone that has matter. It fills up a mass. It has mass and fills up a space. But even the vibrations of these words, I guess, fill up a space, do they? And so it matters, because I could be talking to someone out there who is 18, someone who's 43, someone who is this or that. That's kind of like what the preachers do. Like, somewhere right now is, you know, waiting for their tax return so they can pay their bills or something, or for medical treatments or whatever. So what matters then? I mean, would be a good question to ask. That's something to think about. What really matters, different levels of mattering. I was just jotting some notes here and thinking of some bullet points I could address for this show tonight. This is what I've come up with so far. The media are trolls. You know how we call people who just say things to get attention, basically, instead of, or, you know, kind of hijacking a conversation to get a point across, or I don't know. I guess there's lots of ways people are, you know, say ugly things unnecessarily just to provoke. Well, I guess that's the media, right? So the media are trolls. That's one bullet point. The second one is, how will you feel a week from now? The third one's disappointments. The fourth one is the connections you made. The fifth one is relationships. The sixth one is Hillary is going to be shooting a gun. Hillary Clinton, even though she's all anti-gun, I bet you once, if she gets to the primary election, you know, she'll be like in Texas at a barbecue shooting guns, trying to get votes. The seventh one is Bernie Sanders, her opponent, who could also win the nomination, is up in polls in future states in this election season that we're having. And then the eighth one is contradictions, the bigger picture, coexisting. And the ninth one is sometimes a bit of both. So, you know, the cool thing about philosophy and principles is you can kind of discover principles in things. Principles are like a formula. So if I had a formula of 2 + 4 = 2, I could find that in things. I could go to the grocery store and find buy 2, get 2 free or something like that. Or I could have an algebraic formula and then be looking at the rooftops of houses and see it everywhere or stuff like that. So I guess what matters is a principle, but also those particular situations and instances. So if we know our principles, then whatever you're having happen, you know, you can be sure of those principles, but, you know, and we're still trying to always refine those, because even though we're sure of a principle, maybe there's a bigger one on top of that. And so let's go through these. The media are trolls. All right, so as I mentioned, we're in a political season for the election of presidents, and we have Republicans, Democrats. The smaller parties haven't started their processes yet, like the Green Party, the Libertarian, and independents don't need a primary. But, you know, they're pretty close. I mean, Bernie Sanders has 420-something delegates. Clinton has about 500, I would say. Because if Bernie Sanders does win all the regular delegates, the superdelegates are going to have to cede to what the voters want. So we shouldn't even count those superdelegates yet. And anyone who does is trolling. Like, I Google Democratic primary, and it shows Republican and Democrat. And you just Google Democratic primary, and it shows Clinton and Sanders, and it shows her with that dark blue number of superdelegates, which are people that don't have to vote according to the voters' wishes. Very undemocratic process, by the way. But if Bernie ends up winning the popular election, they probably will vote with whoever the real winner is. So whenever you look at this, it's showing this superdelegate figure here for Clinton, and that's not necessarily true, and that shouldn't be shown. And to show it in your face every day is kind of like trolling. But they're very close, and so far it's just been the southern states mostly, and Bernie has won Minnesota, Colorado, New Hampshire, Vermont, Oklahoma. And when we get to, like, you know, places like Michigan and Washington and Oregon and California and New York and lots of other places, Maine, and you're going to, you know, Bernie Sanders could win. He's going to have like a good finish because the states that are more favorable to him are more towards the end, and some of the bigger states with the higher populations, the states that are more favorable to Clinton are in the beginning. So this is far from over. They both have about 500 delegates, and they need 2,383 to win. So they're a long ways off. But what I was thinking about trolling is I read this one article by this fellow named Richard Wolff, who I guess is one of the vice presidents of MSNBC. He also writes for The Guardian, I guess. And he wrote an opinion piece here saying the cold hard truth, it's game over for Bernie Sanders. And in his article, he didn't mention any of the things I just mentioned here. He said, here's an ice cold one. Winning a landslide victory in the mighty state of Vermont is not a foundation of success, especially if Vermont has been your home since the Jurassic age of politics. And number one, Bernie Sanders won his home state of Vermont by a lot more than Hillary won her home state of Arkansas, which I guess you could say New York, but that's also his home state, so we'll see there. And, yeah, this guy is just, you can just look up his article, is written today, and or last yesterday now, and it's just paragraph after paragraph of trolling. I mean, what a troll. That is what this guy is. He's a troll. Like, his whole article is a troll. That's what the media is. They're trolling us with all this negative BS. And, I mean, this guy is, this guy is like, he's almost like Agent Smith from The Matrix. He's just wanting to keep us in this fabric. He loves being in this framework. And, you know, he's in a bubble. I mean, I don't think he's a bad person per se based on what he knows, but he's almost like from The Matrix trying to say, I'm going to tell you what the truth is. And it's way off. And so let's move on. The next bullet point I had is how you feel a week from now. So just a reminder to try to train yourself for future situations. If you do come up in a situation that gets you frustrated or someone gets you angry, think about how you're going to feel a week from now. Like when you think back, like, a week from now, next Wednesday night, are you going to think back thinking, hey, you know what? I handled that really good. Yeah, that was good. I may turn a bad situation out, and I just handled myself. So you don't feel disappointment. And if you do, just try to learn from that and use that as a strategy. And sometimes, you know, how much of our everyday living is autopilot, from getting up, going to get a whatever, newspaper, drink, whatever, or, I mean, a lot of it is just muscle memory, autopilot. If you were to write a diary, you could write a paragraph of your day. Those are the things that mattered, I guess, although everything else mattered. But most of it, I mean, you know, it would take you literally a whole day to write every single thing that's happening. Because you lived a whole day and you can probably write slower than what is going on. So you do have to train yourself. It doesn't happen overnight, but not that it couldn't. You know, what are the connections you made in that day? You never know who's going to hear this or see this or whatever. It could be, you know, some, who knows, whatever, I don't know. You know, you never know is the point. And, and examples can be fun too. You know, what really matters, if you have them, connections you make are the relationships that you have. Do you ever see people and just picture what they were like as a kid? And what does that even mean? It means something. It means a way of peace and like of empathizing with someone else and making a connection with them and seeing some value in them as a human, or at least understanding and a way of that you can relate to them in some way. Maybe not fully or even a lot, but in some way. Now, Hillary Clinton, yeah, she's just such a relentless campaigner. I mean, and that's a compliment in some ways, but she isn't going to have change. I can really imagine her, like, you know, right now she's saying that she's all anti-gun, but I bet she'll be shooting them later campaigning. And I already mentioned about Bernie being up in the polls, and he is. I mean, you know, he could definitely win this. I mean, the states that favor him are coming up later. There's still going to be some other southern states like Florida, and which I'm very disappointed in. I mean, I think Hillary has, but hopefully he can pull out a lot of delegates out of Florida, and it's not winner take all. So I wrote two articles. I sometimes write articles, and I wrote one on the Tom Hartman blog, and I can read some of them here because or just some highlights of them. Now, yeah, I'll just read some highlights from them. Just to clarify about Hillary Clinton, though, her nonprofit Clinton Foundation has received funds from special interests to do political favors. So everything I've read says that, and she's received about $11 million in the last 3 years from big multinational corporations, the same ones that are responsible for the Great Recession in 2008, the ones where she said stop it, and you're going to cause trouble, and then that has been the biggest recession since the Great Depression, and the people who caused it got bailed out for billions of taxpayer money. She also kept classified government information on private email servers, supposedly, and deleted many of them. State Department. And she said that she never lied, per se, nor that millions of dollars would affect the way that she votes. And then in this article, I have a bunch of links to resources. I have a lot of resources and some articles. Now, another part of the article I wrote here, I think you'd find interesting, is I made a point that Bernie is more free market and conservative than any of the Republicans or Democrats. In his last debate, he was asked, how would increasing the minimum wage help businesses? Well, increasing the minimum wage will put a lot more money back into the hands of the regular people who do the spending, which will help the economy and businesses. It'll help a lot of small businesses and mid-sized businesses. And Medicare for All could help companies compete globally when we're competing with German companies and British companies, French companies, Japanese companies that all give to their employees, they have less expense and a healthier workforce. How does having public schooling help? Well, there could be more innovation if there's people that have more education in the sciences and technology, and that would create a higher purchasing power in society, more of a middle class, be less crime. It'll be an investment that will pay for itself with a higher tax base. Now, if you consider federal contracts welfare, like if I got a contract to build hats or, whatever, sew hats, would that be considered welfare? I mean, is that because what if I got $1 million for that and my cousin's a congressperson who's in charge of distributing those? I mean, is that, or even not, or what if I paid a lobbyist and donated and then all of a sudden I got this contract? I mean, could that be considered some kind of, well, even though I'm doing some work, because if you do consider that a form of welfare, then there's about $500 billion per year. That's about half of our that's half of our itemized budget that's on the books. And that's not including trillions of dollars that haven't been accounted for or used wastefully or for bailouts to the big banks. And this $500 billion is year over year, and it's also not counting states or local places for private prisons and stuff. So if you counted states, and there's 50 states and lots of local cities, it's probably over $1 trillion a year. Eisenhower once said, every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a death from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. And the cost to help poor people is nothing compared to the billions we spend on lots of things. You know, that's not also including black budget. You know, we have a black budget. Is the wars for the Defense Department aren't included in the budget, and they're about the same amount as the actual defense spending itself. So there's lots of spending by just getting the itemized list on the budgets. There's a whole things that are added on in the middle of the year and stuff like that, FYI. So he should neutralize the socialist label and tell him that he's more capitalist. I mean, and that he is for small, mid-sized businesses, entrepreneurship. You know, there's a commons, the public sector, like things. And he should assure people that he's talking about the commons, not products and services. Products and services should be free markets completely. We're talking about stuff like water, and not to say you can't get your own water and your own water filtration, but offering that service and you know, education. And doesn't mean you can't continue your education beyond, and a safety net, social security, medicine. Doesn't mean you can't have other kinds of medicine. In fact, I think we should get rid of, maybe Medicare for all isn't the best. We should have hospitals everywhere. There are public hospitals that can compete with private hospitals and clinics and stuff like that that are high tech. And so I have a lot of references for all of that. Now, one thing I wanted to mention is, if Hillary were to win the nomination and runs against Trump, I'll probably be voting for a third party. I might even consider Trump. I would have to decide, though, basically against two people who will say anything to win. One will at least probably not have bad trade deals and might be a closet liberal and was also against the Iraq war and will be pretty much a wild card. You know, you're not going to sure what you're going to get. And that might not be so bad in a government with a balance of power and checks and balances. Also, voting for Trump would send a message of rejection to the establishment. The other will be a first woman president, which is a good thing, but not much will change. The same status quo, jobs going overseas, more fracking. She supports fracking. And as far as track records go, you know, Trump said some bad things. He's probably done bad things, like eminent domain and stuff like that. But can anything trump the bad thing of supporting the Iraq war, which has cost us many lives, ours and theirs, the loss of civil liberties, trillions of dollars with no end in sight in a Middle East quagmire? I mean, if Hillary was elected, you're going to see the Trans-Pacific Partnership passed. Most likely, this still the same quagmire in the Middle East. No changes to healthcare. The too big to fail banks are still going to be too big to fail. The war on drugs will probably still exist. America will still have more in prison than any other country. And I do think that goes over most people's heads, or people think it's an exaggeration, or think people in prison deserve it. But I don't think they know or believe it, that they haven't seen the exponential curve. And so they need to see stats on that. It's mostly to do with the war on drugs. She'll increase fracking. Her administration will be filled with lobbyists from the FDA to the Treasury, et cetera. And, you know, if she gets the nomination, very likely Trump might win. So I put some references there. Remember that ad she had at where she wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning to answer a call? Someone should do a parody where that ad's actually a lobbyist. And, you know, so Bernie Sanders, instead of bringing super predators to heel, he would bring the banksters to heel, because those are the real super predators, people that are gaming our system and, you know, making a mockery out of it. with money. I mean, democracy is, and our constitution is a wonderful thing. We should throw the money changers out of it. So, you know, I'd be voting for Bernie Sanders. I'd be voting for Trump as a vote against Hillary. If, you know, I pray maybe in a voting a third party, because if they do well, they can possibly get matching funds in the future. And then someone responded to me, you know, what they said, I was libertarian progressive is my title on there. And they said, isn't that an oxymoron, contradictory in terms? And I replied back, so this is my final bullet point. Sometimes a bit of both, the big picture, coexisting contradictions. You know, libertarian progressive might be an oxymoron, or it could be a paradox, or a spectrum of ideas. The reason I decided on the name is I was thinking of actual issues like the war on drugs, overseas foreign policy, empire, regime change type things, civil liberties, transparency and accountability, crony capitalism. These are things that are rarely ever addressed by our troll media, our trolling media, but those are things that both parties agree upon. And so to work on things that are the big issues, and here's a point, which everyone agrees on first, because they'll be more efficient, it's common sense, then when the things we agree upon first are resolved, let's argue over the things that we don't. Because some of these issues have been lingering for decades, and so we agree about those issues, war on drugs, military overseas, civil liberties, transparency, crony capitalism. Now, my ideas have evolved, and I think both philosophies of libertarianism and progressivism can exist. And sometimes it's good to maybe have a libertarian in an office for a while, followed by a progressive. Sometimes it's good to have a little bit of both sometimes. I mean, the things that people, you know, we do have a balance of power government, so the president can't do everything. And so it might be good to have someone who's honest and points out certain things in different perspectives than others. I mean, I think libertarians could opt out of the system. They could still coexist. They don't have to live in faraway lands in the Arctic or something. No, they could just opt out, and we can have, I think you could have a government that offers public options like the post office that pays for itself and is voluntary. We could also have hospitals, clinics, and invest in research that could be funded by a public banking system that has a guaranteed income, which would be more free market than telling people like it does now how to spend that money, and a lot less red tape. You could get rid of a lot of departments, just have a guaranteed annual income. You would get rid of tax collection. You would get rid of red tape. That would help businesses, etc. It still rewards goods and services and products and allows people to get rich. It doesn't guarantee potential, just gives an equal starting point, and not let anyone go hungry. We would still keep the greenbacks, and you be directly accountable to elected representatives, allowing a free market to compete with it. And the money produced will only originate equally via all people and be totally accounted for. And but that doesn't mean all people will end up with the same, and people can still work, and then it would trickle up into places that earn it. And then we could also invest in things like solar, and I think we should have more homesteading and open up some land for people. And so to me, that's an inevitable civilized future. And you could still trade in gold and everything. You just coexist and have public options along with people who want to opt out. And I think most people wouldn't. That's a government where you don't have to coerce people to be a part of it. But and you wouldn't. And if people didn't want to, then I guess they'd have good reason not to. But that's why I think it's important that we have a banking system that works for us. Why not? I mean, what could be more important? We have a public defense. We have a public, we do have a public health care. water, because those things are important, right? Well, what could be more important than our actual money that we use? And not to say that there couldn't be private forms of money that compete with it, you know, kind of like the post office is a public option. And so that, to me, is just common sense. But thanks for listening to Philosophy Show, and have a great week and beyond. But we'll be here next week. Take care.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond.